John, chapter number 5 in your Bibles, the Gospel of John, chapter number 5, and I hope you'll take them, turn there, use them, and just for the next few moments, focus your hearts and our minds on the Word of God. John chapter 5, you'll notice in our Lord's eulogy of John the Baptist, he makes a very important distinction about who and what John the Baptist was. Notice verse 32. He says, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true." Well, that's pretty awesome, right? I mean, wouldn't you want the Lord Jesus to affirm and validate your testimony like this? I mean, it's like if Beacon Baptist Church had ratings on Yelp or Expedia, and people would click 3 stars or 4.5 stars. You might care about what people thought, right? Rotten Tomatoes has, you know, ratings for sermons. Here at Beacon Baptist Church, tomato meter, critics, 23%. And then audience score, 52%, not fresh. However, what if the Lord himself gave a review? What if Jesus himself gave this sermon that I'm preaching now 5 stars? Or better yet, the entire ministry here at Beacon Baptist Church, a certified, fresh rating of 100%. I mean, Toy Story 4 only got 97%. But that will be an amazing validation. Well, guess what? Verse 32 is Jesus' perfect score for the witness of John the Baptist. And no surprise, because he is the same man who Jesus testified was the greatest or as great as any man ever born among women. So from Christ's perspective, the witness of John the Baptist about the Lord Jesus was 10 out of 10. TripAdvisor would say 5.0, all 5 circles are filled in. And of course, that's not, beloved, the only review that Jesus gives here of John the Baptist's life. Because he also adds this intriguing and powerful metaphor in verse 35. Look at it. John, Jesus said, he was a burning and shining light. Now, folks, I want you to notice how careful and how specific our Lord Jesus was with his language here. Because when referring to the kind of light that John was, he uses 2 different words, burning and shining. Burning is not the same as shining, and shining is not the same as burning. And it's with all of this in mind that I want us to consider 3 things in today's text, and especially in light of the current climate in our society, not unlike that of John the Baptist himself in his day. I'll remind you that it was politicians and it was corrupt priests who gave John 0.5 star for his burning and shining light. The government had him arrested, and high society wanted him beheaded and extinguished. 3 lessons in the text. The first one, number 1, you'll notice, is a lesson of order. Order. Notice again what Jesus says. Verse 35, he was a burning and shining light. And again, these are 2 different things. And one of the ways in which they're different, beloved, is that one comes before the other. Why is that? Well, it's because before you can shine, you first have to burn. Burning is the inside. That's what God does to you. Shining is the outside. That's what man sees from you. And of course, the lesson from all of this is obvious. Before you can ever be his light, you have to first be lit by him. 3 weeks ago, June the 1st, was the beginning of our hurricane season. And as we all know, sometimes during hurricane season, we lose power. And what do you do at 2 a.m. when you lose power? Well, you might go out and dig up one of those hurricane candles for the well-prepared. But you know what? What good is a hurricane candle if you just go to the drawer, pick it up, and hold it up? I mean, hold up an unlit candle in the dark, and you just might be dangerous as well as crazy. Well, who would ever do that, Pastor? Oh, I don't know. Just anybody and everybody who talks about Jesus, who talks about the Bible and eternity and truth, but who's never been saved. Pastor, did you read what Bill Gates said about humanity and the road ahead? Did you hear Deepak Chopra on the meaning of spirituality? Nope, not interested. They're just unlit candles. History Channel has these British-sounding narrators talking about the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It's meaningless. It is pretending to shine without burning. It's pretending to shine, and they have no light. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." What a great, what a glorious text. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's amazing. But I want to remind you that man's spirit has to first be born again. You first have to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so there is a lesson of order. Before you can shine, you first have to burn. The question is, are you burning today? Meaning, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you right now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? Last night, I was reviewing this page in my notes. This place in today's message. And at that moment, I got a text from one of our young people and asked about a scripture in the book of Hebrews. And it was so timely that I went ahead and wrote it right down in my notes, Hebrews 10:32. It says this, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated." What does that mean? It means the days when after you were enlightened, after you were lit up, after you were made to burn and shine, nobody was born with light. So again, the question is this. Are you saved? Are you now at home, here? Are you now a child of the living God? Jesus said you must be if you want eternal life. And you can be. You can be saved today. If you are saved and you are enlightened, I have a question. Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad? Amen. Then that brings us to a second lesson of the text. Number one is a lesson of order. Number two, you'll notice, is a lesson of opportunity. Notice again the verse 35. "He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Now, folks, I want you to consider that word season, because it is a reminder that the opportunity to be a burning and shining light was exactly that. It was a window. It was a moment in time. And by the way, it was a season that would come and go for John the Baptist, who would soon be martyred and beheaded. But it was also a season that would come and go, and especially in context, for these Pharisees. Jesus said, "You were willing for a little while." You were willing for a season. In other words, by the grace of God, there was a witness. There was a burning and a shining light. And by the grace of God, that light blessed and directed the path of even those Pharisees. They even rejoiced in the light for a season. So what happened? They let the season pass without embracing that light of truth. In fact, hear this, what they really did was walk in John's light until John's light pointed to the Lamb of God. Have you ever noticed that people like prophets? That they enjoy spiritual gurus until and unless those prophets point to Jesus and declare that his blood takes away the sin of the world. In fact, I can tell you they do it with preachers. How many times, I can't tell you, a first-time visitor comes up to me after the service and says, "Pastor Blaylock, you don't know me. I'm visiting today, and I just want you to know that I felt a very warm, comforting feeling in your sermon today. It was just sweet, and it just washed over me, this good feeling, and I'll be back next week." And they come back. And after the next week's message, different text, different application, same Bible, visitor says, I'm not going to be back. This is just not a good fit. What happened? I'm still warm and fuzzy. I'm still the same lovable guy. But you know what? I know what happened. People love the light of blessed are the meek But they run from the light of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, what you ought to do, unlike the Pharisees, dear friends, is rejoice in all of the light, all of the time, and not just for a season. If you look back at chapter 1, you'll notice John the Baptist says in verse 36, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember, he had very devoted followers and disciples. John the Baptist did. "Behold the Lamb of God," he said, "which taketh away the sin." That was his witness. And then you'll notice in the very next verse, it says two of John's disciples heard that witness and immediately started following Jesus instead of John. And you know what? They followed Jesus all the way to glory. Not for a season. Not for a while. And we know their names. James and John and later Peter and Andrew. We name our children after them. What we don't know are the names of those who only rejoiced for a season. There is a lesson of opportunity, and you have that opportunity right now. Some of you are given that opportunity to burn and to shine. Others are given the opportunity to embrace the truth and the light of the gospel. Which brings us to a third lesson of the text, which is number 3, a lesson of opposition. Now, folks, I want you to hear this very carefully, because it is a crucial part of burning and shining lights that all of God's people must understand and come to terms with. You see, verse 35, if you look at it, says John was. This is Jesus speaking. And he says John was a burning and shining light. Why was? The light's gone? No, just gone from here. Why was he a burning? Remember, he and our Lord are cousins. Elizabeth and Mary were expecting these children at the exact same time. John's not old and ready to pass away, but he did pass away. And the reason he did is because darkness hates light. John was martyred because opposition to light is very real. By the way, do you notice what Jesus says to the Pharisees right after his eulogy of John? Verse 35, he was a burning and shining light. Verse 36, Jesus says, "I have greater witness than that of John." Verse 37, "Ye have neither heard his voice at any time." Verse 38, "Him ye believe not." Verse 40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Verse 42, "But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." Man, Pastor, how rude. How rough and rude this talk is. No, no, no. Jesus isn't rude, beloved. He is righteous. And righteousness will always face opposition. That text in Hebrews 10 we mentioned a moment ago, the entire verse says this: "Call to remembrance when, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction." After their spirit was lit up, after they became children of God, that's when opposition came against them. We said earlier that these disciples followed Jesus to glory, and they did. But can I remind you that they also followed him all the way to a cross? The question is this: must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. I've always loved that hymn. You know, Thomas Shepard wrote the first verse that I just quoted there in 1693 when he left the Anglican Church and pastored an independent congregation, a nonconformist, which was an old term for independent Baptist, a nonconformist who started a church later in a barn. An anonymous Christian wrote the second stanza in 1834. And Henry Ward Beecher wrote verses 4 and 5 in 1855. We still sing it in 2020. You know why? It reminds us that the light of the cross has always been an offense, but that also that cross inevitably leads to a crown. The last stanza says, "O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, when Christ the Lord from heaven comes down and bears my soul away." A burning and shining light. That is the testimony. It is the testimony of our Lord Jesus from the brief life of John the Baptist, and would to God it were our testimony as well. I know this much. When I raised my hand and my heart at 12 years of age and said to the Lord, I believe and I follow, it wasn't for a season. It wasn't for a year. It wasn't until high school. It wasn't for 20 years or 40 years. It was by His good grace until He calls me home. The hymn has another verse, and I'm closing. How many are the saints above who once were sorrowing here, but now they taste unmingled love and joy without a tear. How about this morning? How about we as God's people and Beacon Baptist Church, how about we determine by the grace of God, when Jesus gives a testimony of our witness, a testimony of our life and our church and our homes, He can also say, they are a burning and shining light. It's not enough to burn. Don't hide under the bushel. It's also important to shine. They are a burning and shining light. Would to God we would have that testimony during this opportunity, and would to God some of you would embrace that gospel and that light during this season, this opportunity, so that your names may not be remembered in the world, but your names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the testimony of John the Baptist, who was martyred for the faith, who as a witness gave testimony to the degree that Jesus Himself would say He was a burning and shining light, and not a greater man ever born among women was there. May we embrace that testimony, not for a season like the Pharisees. May we not rejoice when things are good or when the light seems to be favorable, but we rejoice in the light always and forever. For those in this room who are not sure about their own salvation, for those in this parking lot and in their rooms at home who are just not sure, may they open their hearts in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.